All right, we're anxiously awaiting Pete Medhurst's call from 106.7 The Fan. Wears a lot of hats up there in D.C. He's a play-by-play voice of Navy Athletics. He's a member of the Nationals Radio Network. Speaking of the Nationals, did you see Sunday Night Baseball? The list of games was released, and not one Sunday Night Baseball game features your World Series champion, Washington.
How does
Nationals.
That happen, by the way?
I don't know.
I don't get that.
I don't.
Makes no sense.
No, me neither.
Was it the thought that Rondon and Strasburg would both be gone?
They won the damn World Series. Who cares if they're there?
Who cares? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Strasburg re-signed with the Nationals for $245 million in a seven-year deal. So Gerrit Cole is kind of wringing his hands in a good way and salivating and all that stuff. Let's go to the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline. Pete Medhurst joining us. 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the show, Pete. We're just talking about Steven Strasburg and the 245. How'd that strike you guys in D.C., and have you guys been partying since the World Series until now?
Well, they can certainly afford a lot of Christmas presents now for his daughter.
Yes,
I'd say so.
Sure. And, you know, I think Nats fans are very happy. Mark Lerner, the owner, the other day kind of, you know, put a little panic in the fan base, said, I'm not sure we can sign both guys, or, you know, and obviously the Yankees, they start getting involved in other teams, the Angels being a West Coast team. But I don't think Steven, in his heart, ever wanted to leave here. And as long as the team put a fair offer on the table, there was no doubt that he was going to re-sign here. And certainly he opted out of 4 for $100. That was what he had remaining on his previous deal. So essentially, they give him 3 for $145. Do the annual value on that. That's almost $48 million per. So
yes.
If you can't get excited about signing a contract of that caliber, I'm not sure what will. If that doesn't scream, we love you, then I don't know. But, you know, Steven's just not one of those guys either. He's not this big, gregarious, outlandish, I've got to have the biggest contract in the world kind of guy. Doesn't throw it in your face all the time like some superstars do. And, you know, look, he's quiet, he's humble, sticks to himself for the most part. This year was as much personality as we've seen out of him. And obviously when you go 5-0 in the playoffs and win the World Series MVP, there's a just reward out there, and he certainly found it.
You know, Pete, I'm old and been in this business a long time, so it's been my pleasure to have – gone along on plenty of Final Four rides or a Super Bowl ride or, you know, fill in the blanks. There's nothing quite like a World Series run. And I can only imagine now that you probably had a little chance to digest it and put it in perspective, it can be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, even for us hardened sports guys who – you know, try to keep everything measured and in perspective. But there's just something about a World Series run, the way that it's spread out over a month's time, the way that it builds, that makes it a little bit different. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think, and especially in this market where many of us who are old enough to know when the Redskins actually were a good football organization and won
right.
Super Bowls, you know, we haven't won an NBA championship here since 78. Finally, the Capitals broke through. But you look at the evolution of this national season, this really began. We started a series in Atlanta last week of May, and Aníbal Sanchez came off the DL and threw 6 no-hit innings. The next night, the Nats scored 15 with Strasburg on the hill. And you're like, okay, you know, this is a couple of good wins, but, man, the deficit still looks pretty daunting. You go from 19-31 to 21-31 at that point, too. You know, in a division,
right.
which at the time, the Phillies were playing good. The Braves had started to get it cranked up. Austin Riley was on a serious heater for Atlanta at that point. You know, you're still looking up going, man, just to get to 500, it's 10 more games to go. But the makeup of the team, you just could sense there was never a panic. And it was just a matter of getting its full roster ready to go and on display. And they felt that once they did that, they were going to have the requisite pieces to at least get back in this thing in some capacity, and darn if they didn't. And as we've all seen in the past, I mean, you know, we've watched the Steelers as a 6 seed win the Super Bowl. All you got to do is get in it. And once you get in it, then anything can happen. And certainly with the starting rotation that the Nationals have, just getting in it was critical. I mean, you got to go all the way back to the wild card game. You know, Trent Grisham doesn't overrun that ball. You know, Lord knows that run could have ended right there in the wild card game. And we'd have never seen the Howie Kendrick dramatics against the Dodgers or against the Astros in the World Series. And none of this story would have been written. And you never know what they're doing with this roster at this point, perhaps even trying to dismantle it had it not gone well in the wild card game. And then obviously the playoffs that ensued.
Pete Medhurst joining us here on Sports Daily, play-by-play voice of Navy Athletics, also Nationals Radio Network, as the Nats just re-signed Steven Strasburg coming off that World Series. Is there a way to describe the indescribable, Pete? That's the reason why we got you on here. Army-Navy, how do you put that into perspective when it pertains to other college football games? Because it's a standalone game and has been for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think when I talk about it with people, I talk about all the stuff. I mean, a football game is a football game in terms of the way it's played. I mean, you know, they don't play football in some miraculous way that's never been seen before, you know. But it's all of the stuff that goes along with the game from the standpoint of even the march on of 4,000 people from each school. That walk in. I mean, that even after all these years, that still gives me goosebumps. And when you really put them to perspective, and I, you know, I kind of, you know, had a brush with it this week, the fact that, you know, when you look at what our midshipmen, what our Corps of Cadets, same thing for the students out at Air Force, you know, when they graduate, you know, they go out and, you know, they become part of the greatest fighting force in the world. And one of our athletes at the Naval Academy, Josh Watson, rifle team captain, was one of those who perished in the incident in Pensacola this past weekend. And I just interviewed him in January. And, you know, when you think about that, is potentially something that could happen to those seniors that you're watching on Saturday on that football field, because for many, 99.9% of them, it's their last football game. Mm-hmm. And then upon graduation, you know, they become Marines, they become Rangers, they become Navy SEALs, they become pilots. They all become, you know, something greater than football. And to know that mortality is a possibility for those athletes at some point is really kind of a sobering thought. It makes you really appreciate the effort that they're giving Saturday on behalf of each school, just in a football game, because of what it means emotionally to both sides.
The history, though, is something that sets it apart. And we've got Ohio State and Michigan and Alabama and Auburn, USC, UCLA. But there's something that's unique because it's so deeply rooted in our experience, Army, Navy, and you think of the great names through the years, you know, the Doc Blanchards and the Glenn Davis, and you think of Roger Staubach, and you think guys that played in this game and how deeply rooted it is in our experience. It makes it really unique, just beyond even the military aspect and the history of it. The football aspect of it makes it unique as well.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, if you look at it this year, Navy is ranked. Actually, Air Force is ranked also. It's the first time that both two service academies have been ranked at the same time since 1985, I believe it is. And, you know, we know in these games, and it's proven out, I mean, we've seen teams come into this game with one win and win the game. You know, we've seen great players, like you mentioned, Doc Blanchard, Glenn Davis, Roger Staubach, Joe Bellino, Napoleon McCallum, and, of course, the greatest rushing touchdown scorer of all time, Keenan Reynolds, just a few years ago for the Naval Academy. So, I mean, this game has had its great individual players. It's also had its wacky individual moments. And that's what, you know, separates it. I mean, until Navy went on that 14-game winning streak, you know, this series was pretty much even all the way across the board. And now Army's won three in a row, and the Mids are hungry to get the Commander-in-Chief's trophy back. And even though Army's won three in a row, Navy goes into this game as the hunted because they're the ranked team. They're the team that's in the American Athletic Conference. They're the team that's going to the Liberty Bowl with a $2.4 million payout. And Army's the team that, unfortunately, in terms of the postseason, are going to be sitting at home. So this is indeed the bowl game for Army. So this thing has all kinds of emotions for them. They're trying to retain the Commander-in-Chief's trophy, and this is the last football game that they'll play this season. So they've got no other reasons not to lay it on the line, as they always do coming up this weekend.
Navy, a 10-point favorite against Army coming up this Saturday, 2 o'clock Central Time. Final question before we let you go, Pete. You talked about the Liberty Bowl. K-State is playing in it. Got plenty of K-State fans listening to us, hopefully. Talk them into going to Memphis and the Liberty Bowl and watching Navy play, because it's a, I don't know, to coin a phrase or borrow a phrase, a tradition unlike any other to watch a service academy run an offense and run that triple option. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no question about it. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, I think it's a great chance for the country to see what Chris has done in his first year there after the great run at North Dakota State. Skylar Thompson, every bit the athletic quarterback that our Malcolm Perry is. There's going to be two terrific quarterbacks on display in this game. And to me, if I'm a K-State fan and I'm serious about supporting the program, to see what Chris has done, you know, taking over for that large shadow that was Bill Snyder at Kansas State, to see what he's done basically with a roster that you inherit as opposed to one that you shape. Yeah. Yep. To the kind of play that you want, to see what Chris has done with that team. I think this is a heck of a football game coming up. And I think a lot of times we hear all the time, you know, which team is engaged, which team isn't. I think you're going to see two football teams that are actually engaged in a bowl game. And I think that's why this is going to be one of the better bowl games of the college season. It's good for us, because had we been in a game before Christmas, there's no chance we'd have been prepared for it, because our kids are in exams this week leading up to the game and after the Army game. And we've got a chance to decompress from exams and actually prepare for a bowl game for one of the few times we've had over the last few years. So I would expect both teams to be engaged here, which I think makes it just that much more of a great football game. Plus, you know, we've already played in Memphis this year. They're in our league, so we've been there multiple times. If you're a Kansas State fan and you haven't been to Memphis, that is a heck of a city, and they put on a great show for the Liberty Bowl. So there's no reason not to turn up for this game on New Year's Eve.
Pete, great to catch up with you. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thanks, Pete.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Okay, Pete Medhurst, 106.7 The Fan, play-by-play voice of Navy Athletics, and a member of the Nationals Radio Network. And I'm sure K-State's appreciative of all the extra time that they need to prepare for the triple option. And I'm sure they'll be watching very intently.
I would love to know how they're going to set that up in practice. And we're talking about a K-State team that is kind of made along those lines. But they got to kind of reconfigure their scout team totally.
Sure.
Just to give that kind of look. You know?
That triple option is mesmerizing, man. Between them and Air Force. And Army runs it too, but Air Force and Navy, always among the nation's leaders in rushing, and they don't care about third and six, because they're going for it on fourth and two.
No.
If they don't get it. So.
No. Chris Kleiman ought to call my buddy Randy Dreiling over at St. Thomas Aquinas and say, you know, come on over here for about 10 days.
Is that what St. Thomas Aquinas does?
Oh, my God.
The option?
He ran it at Hutch.
I guess I didn't realize that. Okay.
And let me tell you something. When Dreiling was running it at Hutch, he never met a third and six that he didn't try for it. And generally would get it. Of course, those teams were freakishly good. I mean,
steamrolled people.
Freakishly good. But they ran it, and they ran it extremely well. Really, really well. So, but it is a totally different kind of offense to prepare for, no question about it. Hang with us. Much more as we continue. Send your Twitter question coming up next, right here on your station for Sports KFH.